I do want to say it's been good to be here so far. Oh, it's been good to be here. If you are here this morning and you're not ready for revival, you're either lost or you're so cold you need to be on this altar too. I'm ready. It was good to be here. Oh, to see lost sinners make a move and to show concern over their souls. Oh, how good it is to see it. I am here to tell you, if you were one of those that were seeking this morning and you didn't find it, don't give up. Please don't give up. I went for 9 years seeking the Lord. 9 years. Please don't give up. As long as He's dealing with you, oh, don't give up. It's the most important thing you'll ever do in your whole entire life. It's the greatest endeavor you can ever take on is seeking and finding the Lord. So I encourage you here tonight, you might be a little discouraged, you might be down because you didn't find Him this morning, but please don't give up. Continue to come to Him, continue to call out on Him. Because that's what we're here for this week. We're here for two things, to glorify our Lord and Savior and to see you saved. That's the goal of this church. That's the goal of this meeting. That's what we're praying for. Is to see you saved. And oh, what greater joy and what greater news we could hear than hearing of one finding the Lord tonight. So I am humbled. I am grateful for the opportunity to be here and to help in this effort meeting. And I do desire and interest in your prayers, not just for this week, but any time I try to stand. I do greatly desire it. And I've been looking forward to this week since March when my dad called me. And I kind of gave him the reverse response when he said that you guys had called me. I was kind of silent and thought he was joking. So I know what it's like to be on the other side of that now. But as we come together, I want to challenge you this week to do two things. And I hope that we can do these. And I've prayed about it and the Lord has placed these. I want to challenge you to do two things this week. And I believe they will greatly enhance what we're going to do here today. Number one, if we come to the house of the Lord every night, knowing that what we do here has eternal consequences, we'll see the Lord's presence. Nothing we do here or nothing we do anywhere else is more important than what we're doing here this week. What we're doing here has eternal consequences. Lost souls are at stake this week. Lost souls are one day closer, one breath closer to hell right now. What we're doing has eternal importance to it. Amen. And second, or before I move on for that first one, one lead, one song that's not sung when the Lord impresses you, one thing left undone can have dire consequences. Follow the Lord this week. Follow the Lord. If He moves, it's for a reason. He wants you to do something. He needs you to do something. I've often said so many times, how many times have we stood and said, Lord, if just one more person will testify, I'll do this. What if you're someone else's one more person? What if someone else is saying the same thing and you're that one more person they're waiting on? So I encourage you, follow the Lord. It has eternal consequences. And second, this will kind of tie into the first. I challenge you this week to turn our focuses towards these eternal things that we're doing here. And every day, for a couple of hours, most of us, when you come home from work, the first thing you do is turn on the TV. I encourage you this week, and I challenge you, just for 1 week, when you come home, leave the TV off. Fill your house with the sounds of gospel music if you want to. Prepare your hearts to come to the house of the Lord. I tried this last week when we were in revival, and it worked. What a surprise when you shut out the world and you focus on the things of God. How much greater it is to come to the house of the Lord. And how much more prepared you are and ready and focused on these eternal consequences that we're here to do. So I challenge you this week. Some of you will, some of you won't, I know. But I encourage you, shut the world out if you can for this week. When you come home, leave the TV off. I challenge you to do that today. I'm looking forward to what the Lord has in store this week. And I am thankful to be here. I'm humbled to be here. And I find it a great privilege to work with Brother Tim. He'll never know what he means to me in my ministry. The countless hours I've spent sitting at work listening to his sermons, trying to play catch up for the times I've wasted. And oh, the time, what I have learned. Children, saved people, adults, don't take it for granted. This man is a great man of God. And I'm not trying to lift him up or give him any glory. I hope he knows that. But what a privilege it has been to listen and have the chance to serve with him. But the Lord tonight has placed a message on my heart, and I'll get into this. If you have your Bibles, I want to turn to Isaiah chapter 59. And these are familiar scriptures. They're not anything new tonight. But the Lord has placed them on my heart, and I know it's for a reason. But in Isaiah 59, I want to read the first two verses. He says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear." So we have a problem and a solution here in these two verses. And the problem doesn't start here. It starts really in chapter 58, where the children of Israel have begun to go through the motions. They've begun to offer bad sacrifices and go through the motions of the ceremonies. And they have begun to question God, why will you not honor what we're doing here? Why will you not honor this? So there's a problem. He's not responding to their actions and to what they've been going through and their sacrifices and their feasts. But in verse 1, we have a resolve and we have a guarantee, and I'm going to get to that later. But verse 2, we have the cause of the problem. This is the cause. Your iniquities have separated you from you and your God. The problem's not with God in these verses. The problem starts with the hearts of men, with the iniquities being lodged in them, to where they're separated from God and God will not honor or hear them. So that's where I want to start tonight. That's really the phrase that the Lord has put on my heart, your iniquities. We're going to get personal in this revival. We're going to get personal. I am a sole believer of all have sinned and all have come short of the glory of God. But until you can say, I have sinned and I have come short of the glory of God, you'll never get anywhere. Amen. It's got to be personal. So tonight, lost friend, I'm talking to you. I'm saying Your iniquities are why you're lost. Your iniquities are why you're saved. Why you're separated from God. So it's yours. So what is an iniquity? Let's start there. The definition of the Hebrew is a perversity. Your depravity. It's a guilt or a punishment. Webster's defines it as an original want of holiness. It's a particular deviation from right or wrong. It's a sin or a crime. It's a wickedness. So your wickedness, your iniquities, are separated you from God. So what are those iniquities? As we looked, we have they knew that they weren't, their fasts and their sacrifices were not being honored. But why? He goes on to tell us what those iniquities are in verses 3. He says, "For your hands are defiled with blood, your fingers with iniquity, your lips have spoken lies, your tongue hath muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. They hatch cockatrice eggs and weave the spider's web. That eateth of their eggs dieth, and that which is crushed breaketh out into a viper. Their webs shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the act of violence in their hands. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. And their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are their paths." So look at all these things that were lodged in their hearts. The iniquities, the sin, the evil doings, the wickedness that was lodged in their hearts. But at the same time, they were coming to church every Sunday and doing what they thought God wanted them to do. You can come to church every Sunday. You can be part of every program. You can sing every song and still die and go to hell lost. There's people sitting in this sanctuary tonight that are part of that group. We're going to get personal. I told you. There are people who will come and sing every song, be at every vacation Bible school, play instruments, do anything you want to, be involved with the youth groups, do anything they want to, and still die lost. You are separated if you're not saved. And it's because your iniquities. Each and every one of us had to face this reality. We may have inherited it from Adam, but you will not stand accountable for eating his fruit. You will stand accountable for your sins, for your wickedness. You will stand and give an account to him. It might be a universal sin, but it's personal. It's an individual wickedness. Amen. Each and every one of us are wicked. You are wicked. You are evil. You have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And until we get that in our heads, until we get that in our heads, we can think about all we want to, and please don't take me the wrong way, I'm not doubting the scriptures, all have sinned. But until you, lost friend, realize that it's personal and that it's me, you will always justify in your mind that I'm better than somebody. You say, well, oh, I might be a sinner, but I'm not as bad as so-and-so. Yes, you are. You look what it says in the scriptures. You look at what it says. It says, you go over into James, it says, whoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend at one point, he is guilty of all. Amen. So it says here, they have spoken lies. Their hands shed innocent blood. Guess what? They're the same thing in these scriptures. Amen. A sin is a sin. We want to justify it. Oh, no great big sins, none of this. What I've done isn't as bad. It doesn't matter. You have transgressed, you have broken God's holy law, you deserve punishment. And it is the same thing. Their feet run to evil. Their thoughts of that they have are entirely wicked, and their thoughts of iniquity, destruction is in their path. God help us tonight. I pray, lost friend, that this hits you in your heart. Not my words, but that it's the Holy Spirit cutting you with that two-edged sword. Cutting to you to where you know that you are the sinner. It's got to get that personal. It's got to hit to your heart. You won't be able to stand on anybody else's salvation. You can't claim anybody else's salvation as your own. What it says in Ezekiel chapter 18, it says, the righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. Your mom can't stand for you. Your dad can't stand for you. Your sisters, brothers, wives, boyfriends, girlfriends, whoever it might be, they cannot stand for you. You don't want to stand on their marriage. Trust me, you don't want to stand on them. Please don't try to stand on my marriage. I have nothing. The only person with marriage to stand is on Jesus Christ. Amen. Go to him. Amen. He's the only one you can stand in judgment with. You can't stand in judgment with me. I can't stand in judgment with you, but I can stand with Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank the Lord. Amen. He's the one with the marriage. He is the perfect sacrifice. He is the holy priest. He is the perfect Son of God that fulfilled the law. He was made sin that I might be made his righteousness. I can stand in him. I love that song. He says, when I stand at the throne of judgment, I will still proclaim Jesus paid it all. He's the only one I can stand on. Whew. Lost friend, you need him tonight. You need him. We sang that song, oh, how sad to face the judgment, unprepared to meet thy God. Oh, how sad to face the judgment, unprepared to meet thy God. Church, if that doesn't burn in you and that doesn't give you a sense of desire for those ones that were seeking up here, I don't know what will. They're unprepared. They're unprepared. We need a burden for them. We need to be seeking, and we need to show them a sense of urgency. Lost friend, you need a sense of urgency as well. So it's their iniquities. your iniquities. So now we have it. You are a sinner. You are separated from God. So what has happened as a result? The first one is the separation between you and God. And God is not to blame for this separation. God is the same. He changes not. We know that. But it's you that have left Him. It's you that have sinned. It's you that have transgressed His law. It's you that have left the divine relationship. Man is to blame. You are to blame for this separation. You can't blame anybody else. You can't blame Adam because you are a sinner. You can't blame mom and dad. You can't blame anybody but yourself. You are a sinner. You are separated from God. If you face the judgment, you will go to hell. I can't make it any more clear than that. Oh, I wish I could sugarcoat this and give you some feel-good message about your lost condition, but I can't. You shouldn't feel good. It should bother you. It should hurt you. It should cut you in your heart how lost you are. Just how close you are to hell. You're one breath away. One breath. Your next breath could be your last, and you could slide off into a devil's hell. Oh, that scares me for you. Oh, that bothers me for you. Please, please seek His face. Please seek Him. There is no intimate relationship in this separation. Instead of crying, Abba, Father, He's crying, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. Rather than that intimate relationship where He dwells in you and you dwell in Him, there is a separation and you're parted from Him. You have no fellowship with Him. Oh, He's so distant from you. He has hid His face from you. He's hid His presence. He's hid His person from you. I'm thankful that when I seek the presence of God, I can find it. Amen. Oh, it's so good to feel His presence and to know that I can seek Him and He'll show Himself to me. But you, lost friend, you don't have that. You do not have that same relationship that I have with Him. He stands as your judge. He stands as the one who will condemn you. But to me, He stands as my great Father. He is my God. He is my Savior. But to Him, He is your judge. He's hid His face from you. In Ezekiel 39, it says, because of their uncleanness, according to their transgressions, I have done unto them and hid my face from them. And it says there, God will not hear you. God will not hear you. God is under no circumstance to answer any of your prayers other than the one you cry out in repentance and faith. He is under no obligation to answer any of your prayers. And if He does, it is because He is mercy and He is good. That's it. And He's trying to show you. He's trying to show you His glory and His power that you might come to Him and be saved. It's all to show you His glory if He answers your prayers while you're lost. He's under no obligation to do that. And church, we can get in this situation too as well, can't we? What did David say? If I regard iniquity in my heart, He will not hear me. We can get in shape too. This message of sin separating from God just isn't for the lost. I have had sins after I've been saved that separated me from the face of God. Where He hid His face from me. To where I was separated from Him. Not losing my salvation. Please don't take it as that. But when you as a saved individual, sins can get in your way of your fellowship with God. Just look at what happened to Achan. He brought the accursed thing into the camp, and God said, I will not stand for them. I will not go to bat for them, if you want. I'm not quoting that just right. But He said, I will not hear them. I will not stand for them. They will not be able to defeat the enemy because they brought the accursed thing into the camp. Church, we can bring the sins into the church, and God will not fight for us. We bring sin into this church, He will not fight for us. We won't see His power. These iniquities are a bad thing, and they They affect you. They separate you from God. They condemn you as a lost soul. And church, they rob you of your power. They rob you of the presence of God. And that's what we need this week. Church, if you've got sin in your life right now, get it dealt with before we go any farther. Amen. Don't be the one who harbors it and ruins this revival. Amen. Get rid of it. Take care of it. Public or private. I believe Brother Brad told me it's something I've lodged in my heart. If it's in your life, it's in the church. Amen. Thank you for that, Brother Brad. That's been a great help to me. But God will not hear you. He will not hear the prayers. He will not answer you because of the iniquity. Oh, but there's good news in that first verse, isn't there? Behold! See with great attention. Observe with great care. If you see and behold, something important is coming right behind it. What did John say? Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Behold! I bring you good tidings of great joy. A Savior is born today. Behold the Lion of the tribe of Judah who opened the seals. Behold. Oh, what did he tell John? Behold, I am he that was dead and lives, but behold, I'm alive forevermore. Behold's a good word. It's one of exclamation, one of exhortation. It's exciting. Lost friend, you should get excited because behold, God's arm is not short. He will save you tonight. It's not short that he can't reach down and pick you up. Amen. It's not short tonight. Behold, even though they have done all these things, even though the children of Israel had done all these things, they had lodged sin in their hearts, and they had done all these sacrifices and the fast the wrong way, God was still able to reach down and save them. Amen. He was still able to reach down and deliver them. Whew. Oh, and how many times did he say in the scriptures, my arm has brought forth salvation. In verse 16, he says that. He said, his arm has brought forth salvation unto him. What did he say in Exodus chapter 6 to Moses? I will bring you out from the burdens of Egypt. I will get rid out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm. Oh, I'm thankful for that arm tonight. I'm thankful for that arm tonight. Oh, and his arm is still not shortened today. Oh, praise the Lord, his arm is not shortened today. He can still reach down and touch you. Still reach down to you. That same person, you who have sin and iniquities in your heart, and you are separated from God, he can pick you up. He can pick you up. I told you it's personal. He can pick you up. He can reach down and pick you up. The salvation is still the same. The plan of salvation is still the same. The means and the way that he convicts through the preaching and the Holy Spirit is still the same. Oh, that same command to repent and believe is still the same. Amen. Oh, and that grace, same grace is still being delivered through repentance and faith. Praise the Lord, the same grace that delivered Abraham, it can still save people today. Amen. Oh. The same Holy Spirit is changing men's hearts. I love what it says in Ezekiel again. I will cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you. A new spirit will I put within you. Oh, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh. Whew, salvation is personal. I know Brother Tim preaches it. I've heard it all my life. It's personal. Something happens to where there's a transaction, to where your sins leave you and they roll off and they get placed on the cross. And you know it. Oh, and you know it. But this outstretched arm is the same hand. It's the same arm that, as he says in Jeremiah, stretched forth stretched forth the heavens and the earth by the great power of an outstretched arm. And nothing is too hard for me. Lost friend, you're not too lost to be saved. You are not too sinful to be saved. What you are is you're too stubborn to make a move. You're too unwilling to let go of everything. That's what you are. That's why you're not saved, because you're not willing to follow him and give up everything. You got to let go. Amen. Just let it all go. Oh, this outstretched arm. It says in Isaiah chapter 50, he said, is my hand shortened at all that it cannot redeem? Do I have no power to deliver? God still got the power to redeem and deliver souls. He goes on and says in that He goes on to say that, "Behold, in my rebuke, I dry up the sea. I make the rivers a wilderness, and the fish stinketh because there is no water, and dieth for thirst." There's no power, no greater display of His power on this earth than when He saves a lost soul. I thought about it when I read those scriptures. We have scientists, we have geologists, we have astronauts and all the astronomies and all the studies of the universe, and they give us some idea of the working of God's creation. Just some small idea to show, kind of show us how it's all put together. And ideally, that should help us to glorify God. We have doctors and we have medical people who will help us understand the workings of our body and understand it and understand how our heart pumps and how the central nervous system works and how it does all these great things that someone in that profession just won't understand. And again, it should help us to glorify God. But not the greatest scholar on this earth can tell me what happened that moment His grace touched my soul. Not one person can explain to me just exactly what happened. That's why we sing the song, "I can tell you the time, I can take you to the place, but I can't tell you how. I don't know why, but He did it." No one can explain it. Even the people who have experienced cannot explain it. All they know is, can't tell where it comes or whether it goes. They just know it was the Lord. No one can explain it. I can teach you the doctrines. I can teach you that regeneration is when the Spirit enters a man's heart, but I don't know how it happens. I can't explain it. You just got to experience it. That's all I can do. There's no greater power than when a holy God picks up a wicked, rebellious sinner and makes him His own. There's no greater power in this world than when He redeems a broken soul. Woo! Woo! Oh, there's no greater power. How do I know? Because I've experienced it. He made the earth and all everything in 7 days, but it took Him 9 years to get me where I was supposed to be saved. Whew. Oh, lost friend, that power is available to you tonight. Oh, it's here. It's here. And don't take my word for it. Take the Holy Spirit knocking on your heart. I know He is. He would have been mine if I was sent through this sermon. Obey the Holy Spirit. You can reject me. You can turn me off if you want to. I don't care. But the Holy Spirit, if He's knocking at your heart, if He's cutting you, oh, the Holy Spirit slices us up sometimes, doesn't He? Oh, you ought to thank the Lord that He's dealing with you tonight. He doesn't have to. But praise the Lord, He's long-suffering. Praise the Lord. Now, there is one thing I want to say about this. His arm is not short that it cannot save. He will reach out to you, but you have the responsibility to reach back. Amen. He is only going to reach as far as you can reach back to Him. He will not just reach down and pick you up and save you just because He can. He can, but He won't. He won't. You've got to reach out to Him. You've got to make the move. You've got to reach your hand back out to Him. You've got to cry out to Him. And when you do, He'll move even that much closer to you. As I was studying this, I got the picture. I got the picture of someone trying to reach out and hold on to something. I mean, if I hold on to this desk, I'll never be able to reach that rail. I'll never. I can't get there. Lost friend, if you're holding on to this world, you'll never be able to reach God. You'll never be able to get there. Oh, but the second I let go, I can walk up and down these stairs. I can go as I want to. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Amen. When you let go of everything, you'll find that peace. You'll find that liberty. You'll find that freedom from sin. Amen. But you got to let go of this world. There's nothing in it. I don't know why my mind thought like this. But we've all seen the movies. An action movie, there's a building burning, a bridge that's about to blow up, and someone's hanging off of it, reaching their hand out, and there's a helicopter. There's a helicopter. Someone's reaching back to it, but they can't get close to him because the helicopter will hit the building. So they're reaching out to him, but they're still holding on to that burning building. They're still holding on, afraid to jump because there's a space, and all you do is fall. They're holding on to that burning building. They don't want to let go. Oh, but the second they just jump, and that helicopter grabs them. Oh, they're rescued. Lost friend, let go of this burning world. It's going to burn up. Jump into the everlasting hand of God. He will save you. Oh, His arm is not short that He will not save. But you got to jump to Him. You got to reach out. You got to let go of everything you're holding on to. It's not worth it. What it says in Ezekiel. Oh, why? I'm going to turn over there and read it. I don't want to misquote it. Ezekiel 18, I believe it is. Cast away from you all your transgressions whereby ye have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? What are you holding on to that you're willing to die and go to hell for? Lost friend, ask yourself that. Let's get this personal. Why are you willing to die and go to hell? What are you holding on to? Devil's probably throwing everything he can at you right now. How do I know? Because I've been there. I've sat through it. I've felt the Holy Spirit knocking on my heart, drawing me. But the devil telling me just to sit there. Don't listen to the devil tonight. Listen to the Spirit. Whew. Lost friend, reach out to Him. Reach out to Him. He's reaching out to you. And finally here He says that His ear is not heavy that He cannot hear. I'm thankful that when I let go of everything in this world, the Lord heard my prayer. But I had to let go of everything. I had to let go of all this world. I had to let go of standing on the fact that my dad was a deacon and that my mom was a youth group leader. I had to stop letting go of everything. And He heard my prayer. He heard my prayer. He heard my prayer. My prayer. And He'll hear your prayer. Amen. If you'll just let go. If you'll let go of everything. Whew. I want to read a couple verses in chapter 58. Now I'm going to close. There's a promise of deliverance. And oh, there's a great... there's a great change that is promised to him in these verses. I want to read in chapter 58, verse 8. He says, "And then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee, and the glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and He shall say, Here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke and putting forth of the finger and speaking vanity, and if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters fail not." Oh, what a great turnaround. But what we read, the iniquities in chapter 59. Oh, what a great turnaround. In verse 8 it says they waited for brightness, but they walked in darkness in 59. But it says, oh, the light will break forth. Oh, just as it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, this is the light of the glorious gospel. It's the same light that God commanded to shine. He shines in your heart. Oh, that's quite a light, a breakthrough of light. He goes on to say in verse 11 and 59, he says, "They groaned as bears and mourned as like doves. No salvation that was found from them." But in verse 9, he said, "They called and God said, Here I am." Yeah. Look, there's not many places in the Scriptures where God says, "Here I am." But here He is. I'm thankful that when I cried out to Him, I let go, He said, "Here I am. Here I am. Jeremy, just reach back out to me. Here I am." Oh, I'm thankful that the Almighty, omnipotent, all-knowing Creator of this universe looked at me and said, "Here I am." Ooh, here I am. But you got to let go. He'll say that to you. Here I am. Oh. Oh, the light rises in obscurity and darkness is turned to noonday. Oh, but it says they used to stumble in darkness. The light was as midnight. Oh, and the Lord will continually guide thee. And what do they do in verse 10 in chapter 59? They groped at the wall as blind men without eyes. Oh, how thankful it is to have the good Lord leading me when I can't find my way. Amen. Lost friend, you don't know about that. You don't know about that. You don't know how good it is to fall back in His arms and just let Him take care of it. You don't know. I can't explain it to you. I can't explain the peace. I can't explain what it is to be sheltered in the arms of God. All you know is the conviction. All you know is the condemnation that comes with being separated. Oh, but there's peace and there's joy that awaits. You just got to reach out to Him. You've got to respond. You've got to do something in this. The Lord will save. His arm is not short that He cannot save. Neither is His ear heavy that He cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you. Your iniquities, your unwillingness to seek after Him is what's keeping you lost. The Lord wants to save. Amen. It's His will to save men. It's His will that none should perish and all should come to know Him. You are separated, but you can know Him. Aaron, let's get a song. I encourage you tonight. Let go of these iniquities. Let go of this sinful world. Let go of everything that you're holding on to. It's not worth it. Ask yourself that question. What am I willing to die for? What am I willing to go to hell for? The Lord will He'll help you remove it. He'll help you let go. I know because He helped me. And everyone else here probably had something they were holding on to. You got to let go of it. Got to let go of it. You have to come to Him and let go of everything. Nothing in this world is worth dying and go to hell for. I'm thankful tonight that He made a way. He made a way for you to avoid that awful place. I can't do anything. I probably did a horrible job preaching that message. But if I can do one thing, all I want to do is point you to Christ. That's all I want to do. If you don't remember one thing I say tonight, remember there's redemption in His blood.